some ways we're jumping right back into the catechism on the basis of what Lord's Day it is. And so it's been somewhat of a strange year in that we met last in the evening when it was close about, we're still in the Ten Commandments, and now we're jumping into the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. But we find ourselves on Lord's Day 50, and so we'll be considering the fourth petition this evening as we come to consider prayer, specifically the way in which the Lord commanded his disciples to pray. And as we do so, I'll make some preliminary remarks about some of the things that we would have already looked at about prayer in general. But in particular, we'll be considering the fourth petition, which teaches us to all the more rely upon the Lord for our physical good and for every good that comes from his hand, that we might trust in him all the more and not trust in creatures for those things. If you had a chance to grab a handout on your way in, just read the question for reference. Which is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread, that is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care, nor industry, nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing, and therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. As we come to this particular section, I chose to consider Luke chapter 11 in particular, and I'd like to look at the second section, as it were, of Luke 11, simply to provide some opening remarks about prayer and the way in which we are to approach the Lord and the way that he is described. Luke provides two examples for us. The first example that he provides and the way in Jesus teaches his disciples on how to pray, he provides an example of a friend who will answer the petition simply in the matter of he desires to return to sleep. Jesus gives this amusing example in verse 5. Friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he answers and says, do not bother me, the door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. Luke drawing upon something which I think we would all understand, that we would not be overly enthused to answer our door in the middle of the night to give bread to our friend. But verse 8, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Continuing this to the synopsis in verse 9, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Finding that the response to this one who you go to ask, even this friend who is unwilling at first to answer that petition, that we all the more hear that he will answer because of the petition that is made, simply to have peace, such that we might all the more follow into the second example. We'll find the summary at the end with some important insights as to how we ought to pray to our Heavenly Father. Verse 11, now suppose one of you fathers is asked by a son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he's asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What a striking example in the sense of those of us, if we've had the blessing of having a good father in our lives, or we've been able to observe a father who loves his children, that if this child asks for a fish, the father longs to give his son the thing that he desires, that which he longs for, to give him good things, such as a fish. He won't give him a snake or to play a trick or give him a false bill of goods, or even if he asks for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion. With the Lord concluding that what we learn is that even we who are evil, we observe that it is normal, it's natural for fathers and for mothers, parents, to desire to give good gifts to their children, even though we are evil, even though we're wicked. And so when we hear in the Lord's Prayer and the opening, which we did not cover this year, but for sake of this evening, in verse 2, Father, hallowed be your name, that we're calling out to the Lord as our Father, and that we should come expecting even more so than what we would expect to go to our earthly fathers when we were younger to receive that which we ask. And we see that childlike faith play out all the time, even among us, and the trust that children have for their parents to truly give them something good, to give them what they desire, that childlike trust. And Jesus reveals to us the way in which we are to pray. And we can gloss over the way in which we're called to pray for Father, hallowed be your name. This is the ability to call upon the Lord as our Father and to expect that he will give us good things as we pray according to his will, that he longs to hear our prayers for Jesus' sake and that he does answer them, that he blesses them and brings about his revealed will. In this way, this is from Lord's Day 45. But question answer 117, I'll read, but if you'd like to reference it later. It's the question asked, what is the kind of prayer that pleases God and that he listens to? First, we must pray from the heart to no one other than the one true God, revealed to us in his word, asking for everything God has commanded us to ask for. Second, we must fully recognize our need and misery so that we humble ourselves in God's majestic presence. Third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord. That is what God promised us in his word. So as we come and consider the fourth petition tonight, we are in many ways are drawing upon the basis of what we already believe concerning prayer, but are always in need of reminder that we call upon the Lord as our Father for the sake of Christ Jesus our Lord, and that we may truly expect him to hear our prayer, to even long to hear our prayer, more so than we often are even willing to come before him in prayer. So let us, as we consider the fourth petition this evening, all the more expect to receive those things which our Lord cares for us, even as he cares for us body and soul. And so tonight, as we consider the passage before us of Luke chapter 11, we see in the petitions before us just laid out that petitions 1-3 focus on those things that are strictly concerning the Lord, such as the hallowing of his name, his kingdom come, and also the way in which we are to pray, that they deal with those things concerning the Lord. And then in petitions 4, 5, and 6, there's a transition into those things concerning our natural state, our body and soulish needs, that we call out upon the Lord for these things as well, even as the Catechism helpfully reminded us that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. That we all the more look to the Lord for all of that which is good in our life, that we may all the more trust him to hear our prayer for Jesus' sake, but that we do so beginning first with these bodily needs. It's interesting that it transitions from the bodily needs to the spiritual needs. We perhaps may have considered that we would have moved from that which was spiritual, such as forgiveness of sin or likewise of not leading us into temptation, but that rather we begin with the physical needs that help us learn more and more of our dependence upon the Lord, as we will see in a variety of texts that Scripture hold out for us. Namely, that we look to the Lord for all that which is good, our daily bread. In regards to the daily bread, if you'd like to turn to Psalm 104 with me. Psalm 104. Consider the ways in which the Lord is praised for granting food to those that call upon him, to granting physical supply and relief to those who have need. We read in Psalm 104, we'll pick up in verse 24. It says, O Lord, how many are your works? In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. There is the sea, great and broad, in which are swarms without number, animals both small and great. There the ships move along in Leviathan, which you have formed to sport in it. They all wait for you to give them their food in due season. You give to them, they gather it up. You open your hand, they are satisfied with good. You hide your face, they are dismayed. You take away their spirit, they expire and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. We see in Psalm 104 the teaching of Scripture, namely that it is the Lord who has done all manner of good works, including those, verse 27, that all these, all the possessions that the Lord has filled the earth with, that they all wait upon the Lord to give them their food in due season, that he grants it to them and that they gather it up, and that he opens his hand and they are satisfied with good. So when we pray to give us this day our daily bread, we're not only crying out to the Lord in faith that he will hear our prayer for Jesus' sake, but we're also acknowledging and praising him that all manner of good comes from his hand. It may be easy for us in the age in which we live to consider that we put our trust in other things. It's been, as we'll see in the scriptures, that's been the way of things since the beginning. But in particular, in our materialist age, that we may put our trust in the things which we acquire or in our bank account balance or whatever it may be in terms of the job in which we have to provide for our food. And yet what the fourth petition is showing us and highlighting is that we are to call out to the Lord, that we trust him for all manner of good that comes to us, that ultimately all of our food and all that which is good for our bodies are those things which come from the hand of the Lord. That's simple to give our assent to and to say that we truly believe that, but to all the more rely upon the Lord that we would cry out to him to give us our daily bread. Not simply that he would provide at some point in the future, but it's that which is for our daily needs, that we look to him. Even verse 27 of Psalm 104 says, they all wait for you to give them their food in due season. But the Lord appoints the giving of his good gifts to his creatures in his timing, and that he grants it to them, and that he provides for them that they might gather it up, and that he opens his hand and they are satisfied with good. We pray, give us this day our daily bread, that is, that we ask that he would be pleased to provide us all manner of things that are necessary for the furtherance of life, that we may all the more look to him for that which is good, that we would trust and see that the Lord truly is good and kind to his people, that we may trust him even with our bodily good. Secondly, if you'd like to look at Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, we'll consider an additional passage that deals with the way in which the Lord blesses his people and provides for them all manner of things. As you turn to Matthew chapter 6, as we cry out to the Lord all the more with the fourth petition, asking him to grant us our daily bread, to grant us our needs, we all the more see that as he does answer our prayer and provide for us, that we should all the more depend upon him and look to him for our every good, and that we ought to praise him for his good gifts to us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you now worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. If you recall in Psalm 104, it stated that the Lord provides for the food for his creatures in their season, that they gather it up. And here in Matthew chapter 6, we see that we are called not to worry about what it is we shall eat or what it is that we shall wear, in broad summary of our physical needs, because we are simply to call out to the Lord to seek first His righteousness, verse 33, such that we would not worry about tomorrow. And so when we're considering the fourth petition and how it is that we should pray concerning give us this day our daily bread, we begin to see that we look to the Lord, that He has promised to provide for us, and that He provides for us in a way that far surpasses even the ways that we would consider for ourselves. And He provides for us examples in nature that we may observe. Or which one of us has not observed the way in which the Lord cares for the birds of the field, or the way in which He cares for the grass, or for all of creation, that even though we're now moving into winter, the grass has become, or is close to becoming brown, that we will soon, the Lord will bring the rains again in the spring, as we trust, and the grass will grow back forth again. How much more so will He provide for His people? Those who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, such that we might look to our Father who is in heaven. Even verse 26 of Matthew 6. Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Now, when we cry out to the Lord saying, give us this day our daily bread, we do call out to Him as our Heavenly Father for the sake of Christ. And we expect that He will answer and that He will provide for our every need, that all that which is necessary for our body comes from the hand of our Heavenly Father who loves us and cares for us. And that He provides all manner of things, such that we should not worry about tomorrow, but rather trust in the Lord. And all the more look to Him for that which we will need in that very hour. That we should look to Him for all manner of good. If you'd like to look at Acts chapter 14, the catechism prompts us all the more to say that we are to look to the Lord for our every good, as Psalm 104 and Matthew 6 have also noted. But in Acts chapter 14, pick up in verse 14 for context, says, but when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their robes and rushed out into the crowd, crying out and saying, men, why are you doing these things? We also, men of the same nature as you, and preach the gospel to you, that you should turn from these vain things to a living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In the generations gone by, He permitted all the nations to go their own ways. Yet He did not leave Himself without witness. And that He did good and gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. We see that even when the apostles go and speak to Gentile nations, to those who are apart from the promises of faith according to birth, that He can point to the natural phenomena around them, saying that the Lord has showered good upon you. That He has caused all manner of good things to fall out upon you, and that He is the one who has made all that it has been made. That it is to Him that we look, and it is to Him that we pray. So when we pray, and we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are praying to our Heavenly Father, we're praying to the one who has made all things, and to the one who provides for all of His creatures in their season, according to their need, according to His will, and according to His season. To whom else shall we go, save to this Lord who has even provided for us a great salvation, which will be considered more explicitly in petitions 5 and 6. But we're those who have been bought by the blood of Christ, and we cry forth in prayer to our Father who longs to give us every good thing that is according to His will, to provide for us as He takes care of us, a body and soul. In this way, we may say all the more that it is the Lord who has provided for us. It is the Lord who looks after us, but also it should cause us to all the more rely upon Him in regards to our daily needs in particular. If we look on this idea of daily bread, there's some question in regards to is daily simply a sort of roundabout way of saying whatever it is that we would need, or is it a frequency, or is it simply that we look to Him for our generic good, for our materials? If you'd like to look at Exodus chapter 16, I'd like to suggest that Luke is picking up on some language that draws from this and would like to apply Exodus 16, and we'll look at one additional passage that deals with the Lord's provision of manna for his people while they were in the wilderness that will highlight all the more that nothing can profit us without the blessing of the Lord being poured out upon us. And Exodus 16 says, "And they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departure from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The sons of Israel said to them, 'Would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily.' So Moses and Aaron said to all the sons of Israel, 'At evening you will know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord. For he hears your grumblings against the Lord, and what are we that you grumble against us?'" Pausing there for a moment, we see that already that Moses is declaring to the people that which shall come to pass, but also they conclude to the people that the Lord's provision for them of this manna, of this food, which Israel had doubted, that namely that they had been brought out to be killed by hunger in the wilderness, that the Lord will demonstrate his care to them, and that he truly is the one who has, verse 6, brought them out of the land of Egypt when he provides for them. In this way, we see that the scriptures, even in Exodus, are interpreting the way in which the Lord provides for his people, not simply in a mere materialist terms, in that they had enough bread and their hunger was satisfied, but that it showcases all the more the way in which the Lord is providing for his people and all manner of things. And so we are being taught by crying out for, "Give us this day our daily bread," that we might all the more look to the Lord for all manner of good, that we would rely upon him for physical and spiritual blessings. The text continues in verse 8. Moses said, "This will happen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and bread to the full in the morning. For the Lord hears your grumblings, which you grumble against him. And what are we? Your grumblings are not against us, but against the Lord." And Moses said to Aaron, "Say to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, 'Come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumblings.' It came about as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the sons of Israel that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'I have heard the grumblings of the sons of Israel. Speak to them, saying, At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' So it came about at evening that the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew evaporated, behold, on the surface of the wilderness there was a fine flake-like thing, fine as the frost on the ground. When the sons of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it every man as much as he should eat. You shall take an omer apiece according to the number of persons each of you has in his tent.'" Pausing there for a moment, we see in many ways the way in which the language that the psalmist provided in Psalm 104, which we read earlier, many ways is being played out even here in Exodus chapter 16, namely that the Lord has filled the earth with all manner of good things, that he has heard the grumbling of his people, that it is actually a grumbling against him, but that he responds, verse 12, that they might know that I am the Lord your God, and also that he provides for them all manner of food, meat and manna, that bread which is from heaven. He does this that they might know that he is the Lord their God and that he provides for them. Notice as well the way in which the Lord provides, that it's enough for each person in their tent. Verse 16, "Gather of it every man as much as he should eat. You shall take an omer apiece according to the number of persons each of you has in his tent. So as we consider and pray for the Lord to give us our daily bread, we can think about the way in which the Lord has provided for his people in the past, like here in Exodus 16, where he provided manna for his people in such a way that he even gave instruction that they would take an omer apiece for each person in the tent, as much as a man might eat. That the Lord provides for his people and gives them strength. Continuing, verse 17, the sons of Israel did so, and some gathered much and some little. When they measured it with an omer, he who had gathered much had no excess, and he who had gathered little had no lack. Every man gathered as much as he should eat. Moses said to them, let no man leave any of it until morning. But they did not listen to Moses, and some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them. They gathered it morning by morning, every man as much as he should eat. But when the sun grew hot, it would melt. Seeing the Lord's provision for his people, that he provided for them manna, that they were to gather as much as they should eat, that it was their daily bread, that it was that which only was good for the one day, had a very short expiration life, and that it would immediately have this foul smell, such that it even comes to the attention of Moses, that there's this foul smell in the tent, in the camp, because people had gathered too much. And he's angry with them because they are not trusting the Lord. They're not looking to the Lord in faith, believing that he'll provide for them the very next day, even as it occurs, as we will see for 40 years in verse 35. It continues in verse 22. Now on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. When all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, then he said to them, this is what the Lord meant. Tomorrow is a Sabbath observance, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over put aside to be kept until morning. So they put it aside until morning as Moses had ordered, and it did not become foul, nor was there any worm in it. Moses said, eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. It came about on the seventh day that some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you bread for 2 days on the sixth day. Remain every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. We see that the Lord cares for his people in such a way that he even provides for them food that they might keep the Sabbath day. That in keeping of the daily bread that he provided for Israel here in Exodus 16, that he provided for them double. And the manna did not go bad after the sixth day came to its conclusion, but rather it was that which was good. Moses concludes in Exodus 16, beginning in verse 31, the house of Israel named it manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and its taste was like wafers with honey. Then Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded, let an omer full of it be kept throughout your generations, that they may see the bread that I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. Moses said to Aaron, take a jar and put an omer full of manna in it, and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. The sons of Israel ate the manna 40 years until they came to an inhabited land. They ate the manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is a tenth of an ephah. As we see, the conclusion is could be quick to pass over. But in Exodus chapter 16, we see that the Lord provides for his people, that he provides for them their daily bread. He provides for them as much as they need, even as many as are in their household, and that he provides for them in such a way that they might keep his commandments. But what a shocking conclusion, or a miraculous conclusion, that the Lord fed them this way for 40 years, that it came to pass such that they would know that he is the Lord their God who brought them out of Egypt, but also that they did so until they came to the border of Canaan when the Lord's promises were fulfilled. So as we apply this in many ways to considering the fourth petition and the ways in which the Lord deals with us, that we should all the more look to the Lord and be reminded of the way in which the Lord has acted in the past when providing for the daily bread of his people, that he provides that which is necessary, but also that he provides in a way that meets their needs in the moment. and that he provides until his promises are fulfilled. And so when we consider, give us this day our daily bread, we may all the more look to the Lord and believe that he will truly provide for us, for he is the one who has redeemed us, our life from the pit, that he provides for us and that he longs to hear our prayer for Jesus' sake, and that we should all the more be spurred on in our prayer when we consider that the Lord has provided for his people in times past. And we may even look back upon our own lives and see the ways in which the Lord has provided for us in times past. And we should give thanks, and we should be all the more dependent upon him. It would be that which we would all the more be dependent upon him and looking to him for our every good. I love the way the Catechism puts it, even under little letter B there, that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. That apart from the Lord blessing and causing these things to work together for our good, that it would be that which was fruitless. That it was to remind us that we are all the more dependent upon the Lord, and that even those good things which the Lord has granted to us may not be that which is good unless it is blessed by the Lord unto us. In this, we see that daily bread refers to a frequency and quantity, but also it teaches us that our reliance upon the Lord is to in many ways distinguish us from the nations that are around us. We may think of the ways in which if we depend upon the Lord and we look to him for our every good, for our daily bread, it's that which is different. It would be somewhat strange if someone doesn't believe in the Lord, that for them to believe anything else but that they are to go out and to work, or they're anxious as to where they will find that daily bread. Even as Moses records, if you'd like to look at Deuteronomy 8, if you're still in Exodus, just turn slightly over, describing the situation with the manna again. But in this place, there's an important way in which Moses, prior to them coming into the land of Canaan, reminds them that as they do come into the land of Canaan, that they should all the more remember the way in which the Lord provided for them in times past. And so as we consider these things, let us all the more, as we cry out to the Lord in prayer to give us this day our daily bread, to remember and to recall to mind the way in which the Lord has so kindly dealt with us and providing for our every need. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. All the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Pausing there for a moment, we see that the Lord brings all things to, according to his purpose, and that he uses even the times in which he appoints. If you recall Psalm 104, that the creatures gather up in their season at the time in which the Lord has appointed, that the Lord appoints the time in which he will provide in the manner according to which he chooses, even in such a way that Moses could conclude with Israel, commenting on the hunger that they had truly experienced. It wasn't that which was ephemeral, but it was that which was real and that which was physical. Verse 3 of chapter 8, he humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna. That it was the Lord who permitted them to be hungry that they might learn all the more. And so when we cry out to the Lord, give us this day our daily bread, we look unto him and that we might all the more live upon every word that has proceeded forth from the mouth of the Lord. Even as we heard this morning that we are to listen to the voice of the Lord, for he has the words of life. Even as it continues in verse 5, thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten it and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Pausing there, we see that Moses is recording that the Lord is providing for them in this future time, that he's bringing them to this good land where he will provide for their every need beyond imagination. The types of resources may not be as catching for us as they would have been in those days, but all manner of good things, pomegranates and fig trees, this olive oil and honey, elsewhere saying these cisterns which they did not hew or vineyards they did not plant, all these things the Lord will add unto them, for the Lord is granting it to them. So when we consider the way in which the Lord has dealt with his people in the past, we should all the more be spurred on in our prayer, asking him that he would provide for us our daily bread. And in those times in which our prayer perhaps is not answered in the way that we would have liked, or in the timing in which we would have chosen, we all the more wait upon the Lord, because we know the way in which he has dealt with us in the past, the way in which he has dealt with his people, trusting that he knows our needs and he is providing for them in his timing and according to the way in which he chooses to provide. Even in the warning which continues in verse 11 of Deuteronomy 8, we read a warning that would be well considered by us as well. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who has given you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. It shall come about, if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you will surely perish, like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you. So shall you perish because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. Considering the wonderful blessings that the Lord is about to bestow upon Israel, and there's this warning that after they have passed through the fiery lands and the testing period of those many days and years in the wilderness, that they would come into this beautiful land that the Lord is preparing for them, this land flowing with milk and honey, this promised land, and that there is this warning that they should not forget the Lord, believing that all these manner of these good things are simply because they were those who accrued them themselves, or that they were those who were now able to create wealth. And considering the way in which the Lord provides, that we are all the more to attribute to the Lord, that all this comes from the hand of the Lord who has redeemed us. And so for us, as we pray along with the way in which Christ has taught us to give us this day our daily bread, that we are to all the more trust the Lord, and that when he does respond and hear our prayer, and many times in ways which go far beyond that which we have asked, that he's provided for us all very richly, that we may be those that have food, that we have a warm place to be in the winter, and that he provides for us a day after day, and that we may all the more look to him, that we would not be those that would believe that we had done that which had brought that wealth to us. We were not the ones that had put that bread before us, but rather that all of it came from the hand of our Heavenly Father who cares for us for the sake of Christ. And so our reliance upon the Lord by praying and asking for him to give us this day our daily bread is not simply something which we pass over, but rather that which is a firm commitment and belief that it is the Lord that does provide for every good need, every need that we have, including our physical needs, lest we become like the nations, believing that it is our arm and our strength which has made us to have all that we would have. Our physical needs are important, just as important, perhaps, as our spiritual needs. If you recall in 3 John verse 2, Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul, that we all the more cry out to the Lord asking for these benefits, which are those physical goods, but that we cry out to the Lord in this way that we might all the more be spurred on to the good of our soul, that our good bodily health is that which may also lead unto the good of our soul and leads us all the more as we rely upon the Lord to trust him for all the more the spiritual blessings which are rained down upon us for the sake of Christ as well. And yet, lest we believe that our dependence upon the Lord for all manner of food, that we simply will wait for the manna to rain down in our yards next to us in the next day, we see that the Lord in Psalm 104 and also in Exodus chapter 16 indicated that they were to go and to gather and to collect, each according to their own time, or even as it says in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, "For even when we were with you, we would give you this command, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living." That although we look unto the Lord for our every good, we look unto the Lord for our daily bread, we also know and expect that the Lord will bless those secondary causes, or that he will bless us by normal means, that he will bless us through work such that we may earn money, that we may go forth and procure food. And yet all at the same time, the job is from the Lord, the ability to work is from the Lord, the ability to procure the food is from the Lord, the ability to have food even to procure is from the Lord. And yet the Lord blesses these normal means such that we can say that work is good, that we can affirm with the apostle that if one will not work, let him not eat, that we might all the more be spurred on to that good work, but that we may all the more cry out in faith to the Lord and ask him for our daily bread, that he would bless unto us that physical strength, that we may all the more look unto the Lord for every good, and also to look unto him for all that is necessary in life and godliness. The Lord teaches us in this way to count our blessings and to look to him for our every good, such that we would depend upon him to the exclusion of all others, that we would not look to anyone else, even as Deuteronomy responded for us, but that we would look to the Lord, even when he has us in that good land, that we might all the more trust him, that we might all the more look to him and depend upon him for our every good. Just by way of reminder, as question and answer one of the catechism began at the beginning of the year, what is your only comfort in life and death? That I with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood is fully satisfied for all my sins, and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father not a hair can fall from my head, yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation, and therefore by his Holy Spirit he also assures me of eternal life, and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. Catechism begins with this wonderful assertion that we belong body and soul to the Lord, and that not a hair will drop from our head apart from his will, and all manner of spiritual blessings which we've considered in the time here, but we are all the more spurred on, or should be all the more spurred on, to cry out to the Lord and to look to him in faith, and to all the more confess our sin when we find that we are not dependent upon the Lord, that we trust in our own strength, or we trust in the strength of the nation in which we live to provide for our physical needs, or upon others, but that we all the more look to the Lord and cry out in faith unto him, that we might all the more be dependent upon him. And so as we gather for prayer in the weeks ahead, let us bring forth the petitions that the Lord would give us this day our daily bread, that he would provide for us in such a way that we may all the more taste and see that the Lord is good, that we may all the more tell of his works among the nations, and that we may all the more trust that as surely as he provides for the good of our physical needs, how much more so will he provide for our spiritual needs, which he has richly blessed us with in the heavenly places. In conclusion, as we hear in the various passages dealing with the manna, there is this telling of this land in which they were going after this time, and the harsh and difficult land, and in many ways it mirrors our own experience in this present time, that we look forward to being with the Lord, that he has gone to prepare a place for us, a place that is filled with all manner of good things where the Lord is. That's where we're going, and we know that the Lord has promised these things, and we pray all the more until that day that His kingdom would come, that He would return quickly, but that He would also provide for us our daily bread, that we might have that physical strength to all the more be about that which He would have us to do, and that we might be faithful, and that we might obey Him for the sake of Christ. And so in these things, we may all the more trust and taste and see that the Lord is good. Please pray with me. Father, we thank You that You have provided for us in such a way that You have caused Your word to be read in our midst. We would ask, Lord, that You would provide for us our daily bread, that we may all the more be strengthened unto the labors You have called us to as we depart from this place. We would ask, Lord, that You would teach us, even in the way in which our manner of food, that we would all the more look to You, that we would all the more look to Your word, that You might teach us that we do not live by bread alone, but that we live by every word which proceeds from Your mouth. We would ask, Lord, that You would help us and that You would bless this word unto us, that we may grow in grace and all the more look to You in faith. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.